Hello and welcome back. This is the fifth module of the Azure Rights Management Jumpstart. In this module, we're going to be taking a look at building and managing templates and actually explaining what those templates are. So we're going to start off with exactly that. What are templates? There are different types of templates inside of Azure RMS, so we're going to go through some of those as well. And because we couldn't fit it in anywhere else inside of the course, we're also going to cover something called super users, which is one of those things that, is really kind of important for anybody in IT that's managing RMS to have an understanding of. So starting us off, what are templates? Well, they're basically sort of containers for assigning policy to our end users. It means that when somebody actually consumes those templates, they don't necessarily have to have all of the details about what they want to be putting in place in order to deliver protection. That can have been created in advance by you guys, the IT administrators, that are building out the rights management environment inside of Azure. So those templates contain the actual rights, whether they're going to be view, whether they can print, whether they can edit, anything inside of the documents or files that the templates have been applied to. They also include the expiry, so when that document is going to no longer be accessible, no matter what. It's going to include the use licenses, so can the document be accessed offline, how long for, and that information. And very importantly, we're also going to have support in there for the various different languages that that particular template can be used in. And it allows us to localize the information so that somebody in a different language to the one that you've created the template in can actually understand exactly what that template is going to do, which is important when that's the only information about the template that the end user actually sees. So in order to be able to do this, we define these templates through the Azure portal. And having created the new template, we will then go and configure the offline access and publish the template and set the levels of expiry for the end user. But to take us into a little bit more detail on that, Carol, can you explain through some of those default templates?
Right, so as we explained before, as soon as you enable or you activate the RMS service, you get these two default templates for your organization, which means you can get going straight away. You don't need to do anything, they're already published for you, everything's set up for you. So if that's all you need, then you can get going straight away. You've got the two which will have your name in front of them. So when you actually look at them in applications, that's how you can easily distinguish them. So we put down here Contoso. As our example name that most people know.
Everybody knows Contoso.
Exactly, it's our example company. And I think we've already mentioned before, we have the view only, so you want people to be able to read it but not change anything about it. And you also have what we call the confidential. In other words, it shouldn't be shared outside your organization. So if you have that strategy paper that's been protected with your company name, Contoso Confidential Template, you save it up to the cloud. No one else outside your organization will be able to read it, access it. Now, one of the tips about the default templates is that you can't delete them. They are always there. However, there are some companies who obviously don't want to display them because they're not appropriate or they have specific naming conventions or whatever. In that case, you would actually archive them. So in the portal, it's actually, they've got the naming that you would archive them, which means that they can be re-enabled later if you want them, but you can't delete them. What you can do is that you can also copy them. Now, when you copy them, you can actually change some things about them that are nearly right for you, but not quite. So for example, on your view only, maybe you want to do view and print, or view and copy, and some combinations, or you want to put a different expiry date or something on it. It's an awful lot more convenient and efficient to actually copy and edit than it would be to create a brand new template from scratch.
And there's a couple of things in there which you actually, which are very special and you can't easily recreate as well. Things like the applicability of the template to everybody inside the organization, for example, is kind of more tricky to recreate unless you copy those templates. So what about the area of custom templates?
So custom templates are when the default templates don't meet your needs or you want to supplement them. And we've got a couple of examples down here. These when you go in and actually you create your own, and you can do that either by copying and editing the default ones as we explained, or you create a brand new one from scratch. So you'll be showing this in a minute, I know, but you go in and you do create a new template and then you go in and set your usage rights and any of your access permissions on it. And then it's up to you whether you say, I want to just leave it archived and not enable it yet, or actually want to publish it straight away and it's available for users. So those were the custom templates. They're the templates you actually create yourself.
And then departmental templates have come along recently.
So these are currently in preview, as it says. Now people think, oh, these must be something different. What's different about custom templates? It's rather unfortunate that it sounds like there's something completely different, but really they're just a configuration option within your custom templates. So when you go in there, you can see you have another option to say, should all my users in my organization see this, or should only some users see it? And the departmental naming gives you a clue about when you might use them. So typically, only people in HR should be able to see these templates. They're applicable to them. Only they should be able to apply them. But it's not just for different departments. You can think of other reasons why you might want departmental templates. For example, there might be templates just for administrators. So if you're configuring something for FCI, which you're going to show later, I know, you might have templates just for that and just for those administrators, or in Exchange Online. Or you might have a project where it's not particularly for a departmental usage, but it's more for people working on a specific set of documents. You want them to see, make sure that just they see those templates. And it makes it easier for them to actually select the right one, because they're only seeing what's applicable to them. Then one of the things you need to watch out for departmental templates is not all applications supported at the moment. So we have another option in there called application compatibility. You need to make a determination to say, when an application can't support departmental templates, what do you want the action to be? Do you want all users to see it, or do you want no users to see it? Because it's kind of on or off. If the application can't authenticate to Azure RMS, by default, it won't display it. But you can override that. So that's your admin call, basically, to say, what do I want to do when my application can't support it?
So what about tips and tricks for working with templates? You've probably come across a fair few of these.
So some of these that we've had, some feedback from customers and certainly within our own use. And we actually put these into the documentation as well when we hear them. But I thought it'd be useful to help bubble them up here as well. I think we covered them, some of them already, actually. The custom templates, because by default they apply to all your users in the organization, if you have another template that you want to apply to all users, copy one of those and edit it. If you were to create a brand new one from scratch, you then actually have to define all the groups that include all your users, which actually becomes quite onerous unless you have a single group already set up to do that. So that'll be my first tip. Another one is, usually your templates will be for your own users, your own organization users. But a lot of people said, but we want to add external users, people in another organization. Yeah. How do we do that? Well, at the moment, you can't include them in groups. Normally, we would recommend people configure access to groups rather than users for the usual admin reasons, overheads. But for external users, you can actually add them one at a time if they are contacts within your Azure directory. The tricky thing there is letting your end users know when those external users are in a template, because it won't be the usual flow pattern for them. Normally, they would pick a template if it's for internal use. But it is an option available. Some people have asked for it. The other interesting one, and this kind of goes into what we're going to talk about for our super users as well, the copy and extract content right. This is one of your custom rights that you'll be showing in a minute. That actually allows someone to remove protection from a file. And you might want to consider, if you have people who are responsible for data recovery, or say an administrator for your department, you might actually want to add that right to those specific users, so that if necessary in a data recovery scenario, they can remove protection from that file. And that actually gives you quite fine-grained control over what someone can recover in that kind of environment, rather than saying, oh, I want to give that right to every single document in my organization, which is what a super user does. And we'll go into that in more detail. And my other tip here is that because not all applications currently support templates, and some of them you do need to take additional steps in order to refresh them when you have changes to them, my tip here is to use the RMS sharing app, because usually that will copy down and it will refresh your templates quite quickly. So usually when you're setting these up and you're testing them for yourself, my tip is to try with the RMS sharing app initially, but obviously make sure you try them with all your applications that you want your users to use.
Yeah, it does seem to be one of the quickest ways to be able to do that. So there's a whole load of very useful ways to be able to configure them. And actually, let's take a look at setting some of those templates up right now. So I'm going to go into the environment again, and you'll see that I'm back inside of the rights management pivot here, just inside of the environment. And I got a couple of my directories where I've configured rights management. Earlier on, we enabled rights management for Azure RMS Jumps.2. So let's go into there. And just scrolling down a little bit, you can see that I have the ability to manage my templates just here. So I'm going to go in here and select Manage Your Rights Policy Templates. If I hit Create New Template, then that's going to shortcut me to creating a template. And if I just go and do Manage the Templates, it'll show me the two default templates that we've mentioned a few times. And notice that I actually can't do anything with them. I can't actually go in and edit these. I have no edit button down here. What I do have is, as Carol mentioned, the ability to archive that particular set of templates. I also have a copy button, so I can use them as the basis for building my own custom templates. However, for a start, we're just going to go and see the flow of adding a custom template. So the very first thing that it asks me to do is to select the language that we're going to use for this template. I'm going to use Dutch in this particular case, and I just happen to have the details that I want to be entering inside of a notepad just to the right here. So we're going to make this a top secret template. And we are also going to say that the data in it is confidential. And we'll say next. So that's going to just create as a template, but notice we haven't actually yet specified any of the details about what that template is going to do. And I'm just going to go back and come back into this page because it didn't appear. So let's wait for the rights management panel to load back up again. We go out back in, manage the templates, and we can see that a new template has appeared now in that particular list. Just every so often inside of the Azure portal, if you're not overly familiar with using the Azure portal, you'll find you have to click back to a previous screen and go back again to just force things to refresh. If we have a look in the details for that template, we'll see the getting started quick start page appears very quickly, taking us through the three steps that we actually need to do: configure the rights, publish the template, and any additional configuration. Or we can then skip into rights, scope, and configure. So let's use the wizard and go configure rights. Now the first thing we can actually do is say which groups this template actually applies to inside of the organization. I'll hit the get started button here. You'll notice that we're not actually synchronizing any groups from my on-premises AD here because we haven't set up sync. We will also notice that I don't actually have any users apart from one inside of my organization, so I'm not going to go all the way through configuring this, but normally we would see the groups that have been synchronized from Active Directory on premises appearing in here. What you have to be careful of though is that those groups have to be email enabled groups in order to be able to use them at this stage. If we go to scope, we'll see that this is the this is the part that's in preview. This is where we set the departmental templates and say which particular groups of users are able to see the template. Again, those groups need to be email enabled, and they're not going to appear inside of this particular environment for me. Finally, I can go to configure, and this is where we decide exactly what's going to happen with this template. First thing I see is the publish button or toggle switch, but we're not going to use that just yet. A little bit further down, we can see that here we can see I've applied my Dutch language to this particular section, but let's also, for our English users, add in the English US version of this, top secret, and this is confidential. And now we can start to see that we can start to build out as many languages as we need to in order to be able to make this make sense for people inside of our organization. A little further down, we can specify the content expiration. So I might want to say that my data expires after a specific date, or I guess potentially more useful inside of a template is that you might want to say that it's going to expire a specific number of days later. I'm going to say that everything's going to expire after one day. And then a little further down, we can say how long are we going to allow offline access for this file. I'm going to hit save, save those settings back into my tenant. But actually, they won't have actually been they won't be received yet by any of the clients that are looking to Azure RMS for the templates. In order for that to actually happen, I need to go up to the top and select publish. Move over into the published category, and now my clients will start to receive those templates so that they can be applied to their various different applications. Now I'm going to go back this time into my main interviewing all of my templates, and I want to show you what we can do with copying one of those templates in order to be able to customize it. So I'm going to take the confidential view only template and take a copy of that. You can see that it starts off with a very, very similar thing to when we created our own template from scratch. So we're going to create an English US version. We're going to change the name on this one to be my custom template, just so that we can identify it inside of the console. And we'll say OK. And then in a second, we're going to have added that new custom template. There we go. There's my custom template. And now I can actually drill into this. So notice that I can't drill into the confidential view only template, but I can view into this, drill into this copy of the template. So from here, if I go across to rights, we'll see that there's this special group that we're actually applying access to. And there's no other way to add this particular group into a custom template other than copying the group. So that's actually making the template apply to all staff within the organization. The scope is actually going to be completely empty because the default templates aren't scoped in any way. And if we go across to configure, then we'll start to see that again, this template is going to be archived at the moment. It's not going to be published because we haven't clicked that button. But what we can see is just how richly the language packs have been built out for those two default templates. So we have, I think, basically every language that we support has been defined inside of the environment. So one thing that's quite important to note is if I scroll up, you'll see where I've changed my name for my custom template. Now, I'd actually have to think about going in and changing and localizing the language for each one of the different languages that we want to support with this template. So it's worth bearing that in mind as well. When you do create a copy of a template, do remember to actually localize the languages to make it easy for the end users to make use of the templates. And then again, we get to see exactly the same thing. What is our content expiration dates and what are our offline access requirements as well? So I haven't copied that. Again, I need to hit publish and save. And that's all I'd need to do in order to be able to publish that template out to folks within my organization. So that kind of shows you how powerful templates are for bringing together the various different rights that can be delivered for our users. I'm going to go back to this for a second. Here we go. And then inside of the various different applications, we're going to start to see those templates appear. So people will be able to pull the templates down inside of their Office applications. They'll be able to pull those templates down inside of the sharing applications. They'll also appear automatically inside of the connector for on-premises applications and also inside of Office 365. So super users is the next section. What are super users and why did we add them?
So we talked about super users very quickly before. One of the easiest ways to explain what a super user is just to explain some typical scenarios when you would use them. At a technical level, a super user is someone who can open and, if necessary, remove protection from all the files in your organization. They have access to your RMS tenant's root key, and that is what makes them a super user, basically. So the typical scenario here where people always quote was, what happens if my employee leaves the organization? They're protected a file, does that mean that I'm locked out of it? No, because you always have the super user feature. So typically you would give very restricted access to this, either to one or two trusted individuals, or maybe you have a data recovery group that you actually give rights to that. To them to do this. We also talked in the templates where if you don't need it for the whole of your organization, you can add an equivalent just on the template. But a super user is someone who always has that right for every single document that might be protected by your organization. So some other examples that we've got down here is if you have services which need to inspect for legitimate reasons, all the files which have already been protected. And we can some examples down here as a DLP or your encryption gateways or anti-malware services. They need to be able to crack open the file to make sure that it's good and maybe take actions on it wherever. They will usually be running under a service account. You would want to make that service account a super user. So when you've gone through and you've configured your environment and your applications, that's a good time to check to say, do I actually need to create any super users and assign that role to these services? And then finally is one of the other scenarios we have here is if you ever need to bulk decrypt files for auditing or legal or just simply for compliance reasons. We've recently released a new PowerShell module that makes that very easy. So what you would do is you would give them that tool, you would make them a super user, and then they would go through and they would bulk decrypt files. One very quick thing about super users is that the feature by itself is not enabled by default. So you have to actually go in and enable it, with one exception. The one exception we'll come to in a minute, I know, is the RMS connector. Mm-hmm. So when you install that for Exchange Server, that automatically needs the super user feature. We're smart enough to know that, and so we turn that on for you. Otherwise, it's manual. So as this shows, this is when you would go in and you would use your PowerShell commandlets. It's really simple. I know it's a bit tedious to use PowerShell for something like this, but as the commands here show, it's very simple. You use one command to turn it on. You use another command just to specify who your user is. At the moment, you can't specify groups, so that's something else to watch out for. You do need to specify it user by user. But it isn't something we would expect a lot of people to have that kind of permission, because it is high privilege use.
It's probably one of those things that you want to go through and on a regular basis check who's been granted super user access, because it's probably going to become an audit task to go through and do that fairly regularly just to be sure who's inside of that group. In just the same way, you should be running that kind of audit activity to see who's inside of the administrators groups inside of Active Directory as well. So, a few resources for access to more information on super users and on custom templates. Just take a look at those. Download the decks in order to get access to those particular resources, or you can always hit pause on the stream, I guess, in order to be able to do that. So we've talked about templates, we've talked about the default templates, the custom templates, and the departmental templates. We also had a look at creating those templates inside of the portal, and then we took a quick walk through what the super user is inside of Azure RMS and how we can enable different users inside of Azure AD to become super users inside of the portal. Coming up in the final module, we're going to take a look at configuration of the on-premises connector for Azure Rights Management, and join us back in a few moments for doing that.